Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It's December 8th. We are recording this for Rabbi Feldman. I am subbing for Rabbi Feldman in his Sefer HaMitzvahs, Shir Rabba. So I know that he goes through the mitzvahs, and because I'm not familiar with his style, and I'm not going to pick up where in the middle of where he was. So I asked him if we could do the shrushim, and he said that he didn't do that. He just started with the mitzvahs themselves. Now the shrushim, shurish means a root, and this is the underpinnings of the Sefer HaMitzvahs that the Rambam writes. He tells you in the shrushim what he counts, what he's not going to count, the various rules that he feels governs how you count the Taryag Mitzvahs. So what you have in front of you is the first of the Shrushim, in which the Rambam writes, we'll just read the first couple of lines so you get the flavor of what he's doing here. HaShoresh HaRishon, the first Shoresh is, the first root is in this whole discussion, Shein Roya Limnos Bechlal Hazeh HaMitzvah Shemid Rabbanah. It is inappropriate to count in this general category the mitzvahs that are only midrabbanan, that you only count Torah mitzvahs, not drabbanan mitzvahs. For example, what is he saying you wouldn't count?
Hanukkah.
Purim. Exactly. And he writes, Da kizeh ha'inyan lo haya roi la'ara lav. This wouldn't have been any reason to even discuss this. Lavaro to explain it. Ki'achashay ha'lashon ha'talmud, since the language of the Gemara is Sheish Meos Ushalash Esrei Mitzvos Nemu Lo Lemoshe B'Sinai, 630 Mitzvos were told to Moshe on Har Sinai, Eich Nemar B'Davar Shehu Midrabanan Shehu Mechlal Aminin. How could we even suggest that something which is Rabbanan is included in the count? The Torah Shebal Peh is not necessarily Rabbanan. Torah Shebal Peh is an explanation of Torah Shebal Peh.
That's considered, okay.
Torah Shebal Peh is Daraisa, not Rabbanan.
Okay.
Aval ha'irunu alav, the reason why we bring it up, mipnei shato bo rabin, because many have made a mistake, umanu ner Chanukah umikra Megillah b'chlal mitzvah saseh. They count Chanukah and Megillah as two of the mitzvah saseh. V'chein mea brachas b'chol yom, and also the mitzvah of making 100 brachas every day, v'nichum avelim, and paying a shiva call, u'bikra chaylam, v'zein samanu stik, u'kfuras meisim, and being in the Chevra Kadisha, v'havash asarumim, and clothing someone who's in the Edazam clothing, v'chishav tkufos, and working out the calendar for the to know when it's an Iber Yar, v'shmon arsar yom ligmar b'hanes, when it's a leap year, v'shmon arsar yom ligmar b'hanes a halal, and the 18 days that you have to finish halal, meaning you say the incomplete halal. So, because there are those who do count mitzvahs throughout Banan, that's why the Rambam feels he has to lay down the law. We don't count mitzvahs to Rabbanan.
Is there a specific Man Yomer that he's referring to?
The Bahak. The
Bahak counts
mitzvahs to Rabbanan. The mitzvahs that he's referring to.
Does he count the 613 also? When he adds on?
No, he counts on the 613 also. So the Rambam here is out to say that that's not so. You can't count mitzvahs to Rabbanan. And it doesn't make sense. It says, Nemal on the Moshe of the Sinai. That's what it says. But we're told to Moshe on our Sinai. How could you have mitzvahs to Rabbanan?
But what about the opinion that, you know, Kol Torah Kula was said to Moshe Rabbeinu?
Was Kol Torah Kula?
Including, I mean, that doesn't include mitzvahs derabanan?
Not necessarily.
Is it so pashut that it wouldn't?
Okay, so clearly, the Hochas Gedol, it doesn't bother him, right. The Rambam's question, right? So he's gonna have something else to say over here. But the Rambam feels that it is impossible to say that you can count mitzvahs derabanan. Now, he goes on over here to discuss why he feels you can't count Mitzvahs Rabbanan and how it doesn't fit in with the language of the Gemara and other problems with it. But one of his strongest arguments is, let's see if we could pick it out in the middle over here, one of his strongest arguments is that the Gemara frequently will say that the way that we know that, how do you know anyway that you have to keep it the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan said, don't eat chicken with milk. Torah doesn't say that. Torah says, don't eat meat with milk, not chicken. But we know you can't eat chicken with milk either. So how do we know that? Lo sasor. Don't turn from the words that they tell you right or left. So from there, the Gemara says very often that that's how we know that you have to listen to the Rabbanon from the mitzvah, from the lav, the lo sasor of lo sasor. Now, before we read it in the Rambam, you should be aware that when the Torah says lo sasor min hadavar asher agidu lecha yomin u'smol, you shouldn't turn from what they tell you right or left. It is not referring, the simple meaning of the psukim, are not referring to keeping mitzvahs the Rabbanon. That is not what the Torah is talking about over there. The Torah in Parasha Shoftim, when it says this pasuk, is talking about the mitzvah that when you go to Sanhedrin, because there's a din Torah, so you go to Sanhedrin, first you go to the Beis Din in your own town, and they pass in one way or another. But then if they don't know the answer to the question, we're not talking about where it's a monetary issue between one person and another person, but let's say there's a question of what the halacha is, the halacha of a certain, how to perform a mitzvah, whether you should do this, whether you should do that. They don't know the answer. So they go to Yerushalayim, and they go to the Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim. There were a couple of different smaller Sanhedrins, and of course the biggest one was in the Lishkas HaGazis, had the 71 High Court of Klal Yisrael. And you go there, and they paskin the halacha. When they tell you the halacha, then the Torah says, Lo sasor min hadavar ashagidu b'chol yomin u'smol. You can't turn from what they tell you right or left. Now the simple meaning in the Torah is not talking about if they tell you don't eat chicken and milk. The simple meaning is if you're not sure whether the Torah says that your tefillin should be black or whether the Torah says that your tefillin should be red, and it's not clear, it doesn't say anywhere in the psukim which one it should be, so you don't know the halacha, so you go to the Sanhedrin and the Sanhedrin delves into it, and then they have there's 71 of them, so 52 say that it should be black and 19 say it should be red, so the majority rules it's black. Then the Torah says lo sasor min hadavar shayigidu l'chol yomin u'smol. You can't turn from what they say right or left. They said black, it's black. That's it. That's the simple meaning of the pasuk. And in fact the pasuk is actually even addressing itself more so not to the people, even though it's true we also have to listen, but to those on the Sanhedrin who said red. Those 19 who said red, if one of them goes back home to his city and he tells people the halacha is red, so then he may be a zaken mamre. He may be one of the elders who is a wayward elder. And if he fits all the parameters, that happens to be a case where it wouldn't fit the parameters. There's a technicality over there. It's not important for right now. But there's a technicality why my example won't work. But if something like that would happen, then they would take him to Yerushalayim and they would stone him to death for going against the Sanhedrin. It's talking about the mitzvah of Zaken.
One of the guys who was just on the Sanhedrin.
Yeah, whether he was or wasn't. But anybody who was a Zaken member, somebody who was of a Talmud Chacham, who will go against the word of Sanhedrin, again, there's some technicalities that we worked out, but then he is put to death for paskening against the Sanhedrin.
If such a case ever happened?
Don't know that it ever happened. It would seem to be far-fetched, but in theory, I guess it could happen. So that's really what the pasuk is talking about. But the Gemara uses that phrase, lo sasor, don't turn from what they say right or left, uses it regularly as a way to tell us that you have to listen to what the Rabbanon say. So how do you know that you have to listen to the Megillah on Purim? Because it says, lo sasor. Because the rabbi said to do it, and the Torah says, don't turn from what they say. How do you know you got to light the Hanukkah menorah? Because it says, lo sasor. How do you know you have to say halal on Hanukkah? It doesn't say in the Torah to say halal on Hanukkah. It doesn't say Hanukkah anywhere in the Torah. So, it doesn't say, how do you know you're supposed to say halal on Hanukkah? Lo sasor. Because the rabbi said to do it, and the Torah says, don't turn. So, even though the simple meaning of the psukim is not talking about listening to rabbinic decrees, the simple meaning is when the rabbis figure out what the Torah is talking about, Nevertheless, the Gemara uses that pasuk very often to tell us that you should listen to the Rambam. So the Rambam over here in this Shoresh makes reference to this low sasur. I mean, that's why I give you that hakdama. He says, I'm skipping down now, 9 lines is a period in the middle of the line, and it says Uma. The Rambam writes that why would the Bahag, the Hilchos Gedolos, have made such a mistake to count Drabonans? Umashi Yirali Sheyaviyam Elzeh, it seems to me that the reason what brought them to think that you could count Drabonans, Heyosenu Mavarchin Aleilu Hadvarim, because we make a bracha on these things, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvosav V'tzivanu Al Mikra Megillah, that he sanctified us with his mitzvos, capital H, with his mitzvos, and he, with the capital H, commanded us on the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, Ula HaBekmer, and to light the candles of Hanukkah, V'ligmor Es HaHalel, and to complete the Halel on Hanukkah and other times. So we make a bracha that Hashem commanded us to do these things. Well, Hashem didn't command us. The sages commanded us. It's a rabbinic decree. So what do you mean Hashem commanded us? Now that's not my question, that's the Gemara's question. V'she'la sa'talmud, and the Gemara asks, Heichan sivanu, were we ever commanded to do this? V'amru, and the Gemara answers, mi lo sasur, from that pasuk I mentioned to you before, of lo sasur, that you shall not turn from the words of the Rabbanan, right or left. So the Rambam is understanding that is why the Bahag and others made a mistake and thought you should count Darabonans. Because since the Gemara tells us that we learn from the Torah that you should listen to the Rabbanan from Lo Sasur, he understood that means each and every mitzvah of the Rabbanan gets counted as a separate mitzvah. That's the way the Rambam is understanding the Bahag's mistake. I use the word mistake from the looking through the lens of the Rambam. The Bahag will tell you I didn't make a mistake.
The Bahag and the Rambam were contemporaries?
They were the Bahag. I think the Bahag preceded the Rambam a little bit, but I'm not 100% sure. V'im mitam zeh manu osam, and if it's for this reason that they counted these mitzvos, hine ro'yishin, this is the Rambam speaking, if they're going to count some mitzvos d'rabbanan, because it says lo sasur, then they should have counted all mitzvos d'rabbanan. What's that?
Endless.
It's endless. The Rambam says later on, it'll be thousands. Kichol ma she'amru chachamim ma'asoso, because anything the sages said to do, v'chol ma she'hizhiru mimenu, and anything they warned you not to do, k'vartziva Moshe Rabbeinu b'Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu commanded on Har Sinai, she'etzavenu l'kaimo, that we are commanded to keep it. V'hu amru, and that's what it means when it says in the Pasuk, the parenthesis is Reish Parsha Shoftim, beginning of Parsha Shoftim, al pi ha-Torah she'yorucha ve'al ha-mishpat asher yomru lecha ta'aseh, that according to the Torah that they show you, and according to the law that they tell you, you should do. V'hizhiranu, and they warned us, ve'avar b'davar, from transgressing anything, mikol ma shetiknu el gazu, anything that they established or that they decreed. Va'amru, and it says, lo sasur min adavar, ashigiru l'chayim min usvo, you shouldn't turn from the words right or left.
So how's he explaining both? So what's the difference between lo sasur and then
Apiatora? It's all the same pasuk. It's all one pasuk.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah, you're just bringing the whole pasuk together. So he says that if you're going to count everything, then you're going to end up with thousands of mitzvahs. I mean, the Rabbanan said all kinds of things. The Rabbanan, what about Nekilas Kadayim? That's also the Rabbanan.
Washing for Motsi.
Right, that's the Rabbanan. What about things that they said, let me pick one out over here. He mentions Nekilas Kadayim, he mentions Eruv.
Mayim Rishonim.
Mayim Rishonim. Mayim Achronim. Mm, There's some other good ones. Like, you wouldn't have even thought to think would be a mitzvah, but if you're going to tell me everything they said...
All muktzah?
Muktzah, right? And we already mentioned chicken and milk. Right? So he says it can't be that you have this blanket rule that we count all the mitzvahs.
Well, just out of curiosity, has anyone ever counted all the mitzvahs of Rabbanan?
He says there are thousands.
There are thousands.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he says. It'd be impossible.
I hear a new sefer coming out.
Yeah. No chumras.
We have nothing else to do then.
He says, what about, did they tell you to get, when you give tzedakah, did you have to give enough for the ani, for the poor person, to what they're usually used to? It's endless. Right. Now, he does mention that one might, he goes on to ask other questions, which is, how can you tell me, like we said before, how can you tell me that Hashem told Moshe on Har Sinai about Megillah and about Hanukkah? I mean, those are rabbinic degrees happening later. He says it's not possible that that's the case. So he therefore says that although it's true that Lo Sasur is a mitzvah to listen to the Rabbanon, which is true, there is a mitzvah, but that's one mitzvah. It's one mitzvah with a lot of different applications. It's not many mitzvahs. It's not that there's a mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, and there's a mitzvah of Chanukah, and there's a mitzvah of Megillah Sadayim. It's that there is a mitzvah in the Torah to listen to the rabbis.
But you're not mekayim a mitzvah d'oraisa every time, the mitzvah d'oraisa of Lo Sasur every time you mekayim a mitzvah d'rabbanan.
He holds every time you listen to the Rabbanon.
Well, that means, doing any mitzvah d'rabbanan.
One mitzvah with many multiple parts.
Right.
But you're ma'ash mekayim a mitzvah d'oraisa every time.
Yeah. Every time you listen to the Rabbanon. And it's not a specific thing. It's that listen to them. So if you listen to them, you get a mitzvah.
But then you get into questions of we have all these, questions of deraisa versus derabanan and what takes precedence. I mean, there are a lot of applications of of calling a mitzvah derabanan versus a deraisa.
Okay, good.
Won't that get a little foggy now?
Yeah, so you're getting into the Ramban's questions on the Rambam, which I'm going to bring up in a minute. I didn't copy it for you only because the Ramban is very long, and I couldn't figure out a good way of picking out the parts that we would read together. So I'm going to tell you, which I'm going to begin with your point, what the Ramban says about the Rambam's position. But the Rambam does agree that Lo Sasur, that you shouldn't turn from the mitzvah right or left, is a Torah law that you should listen to the rabbis, to the sages. But you don't count each mitzvah d'rabbanan as a separate mitzvah. You don't say, well, Mikra Megillah is one, and Chanukah is two, and Erevin is three, and Mikzvah is four. It's one mitzvah, which includes, it's an umbrella that includes all the directives of the sages. So that's not separate mitzvahs. So he would agree that Lo Sasur gets counted as one. That is
so
a mitzvah.
You're saying all the, make it the other way, can you say that all the mitzvahs d'rabbanan are under the category of Lo Sasur?
Yeah, that you could say, but he wouldn't count them separately in Tarayag mitzvahs.
So whatever number it is, that's number 500, that'll be all under that one category.
That's right.
And out of curiosity, in the Rambam, when he lists Lo Sasur and his Lo Sasurs, does he say that?
Yeah, well, he applies it to Zaken Mamre, really. Like the case of the...
Does he extend it?
Yeah. The Ramban quotes him later on as saying in the Sefer HaMitzvahs that Lo Sasur tells you to listen to the Rabbanan. But again, his main problem with the Bahag is not whether the Torah tells you to listen to the Rabbanan. That's fine. But how many times you count it, that's what he's bothered by. You don't count it every single time it happens. Now, the Ramban, in his commentary to the Sefer HaMitzvos in the Shirashim, you have a lot of Ramban that he comments against the Rambam. So he comes to defend the Bahag over here. He doesn't really tip his hand which way he holds, but he wants to show that it's not so simple. It's not a slam dunk that the Bahag is wrong. So he's coming to defend the Bahag, and in so doing, he picks apart the Rambam a little bit. Now, you should know that this has nothing to do with the discussion this evening, but it does have to do with the whole idea of counting mitzvos. The Ramban begins by questioning just how rigid is this 613 system that we have. Because the Ramban says, if it's really that rigid, then every time you have a machlokas in the Gemara, whether something is a mitzvah or not, the Gemara should then turn around and say, well, if this one holds it's not a mitzvah, then he only has 612, what does he add in? And this one holds that there's an extra mitzvah, that gives him 614, what does he omit? And the Gemara should be bothered by this regularly, to have this count of 613 and constantly be worried about how this person is adding on and this person is taking down. And it's throughout Shas, and the Gemara never bothered by that. Never. The Gemara mentions 613 liberally, but not in the context of a question on somebody of, oh, what are you going to do with your count?
Well, it may also be a practicality question, because then it's going to enter into every machloka.
That's right.
And so, instead of, Shas that already takes up half my shelves, it's going to take up my whole.
So the Ramban ends up with that. The Ramban says that it appears that there is a count, and it's true that any time one of the Tanaim or Amoraim says this is a mitzvah and that's not a mitzvah, then he has a whole shift in his count. And the reason why the Gemara doesn't ask that question is because that's like, that would take up, like you're saying, it would be like a triple shas or quadruple shas. You'd end up with Daf Yomi would be every 50 years instead of every 7 hours.
It'd be as far as the article shas, at least.
Right. Okay, and anyway, that's not the main issue. When the Gemara is discussing something, the main issue isn't how you're going to figure out your Tayag Mitzvahs. That's not the burning issue of the day when the Gemara is talking about a specific subject.
I mean, before the Bahag and the Rambam and their contemporaries started actually counting numbers of mitzvahs, do we find that in the
Gaonim? The first is in the Gaonim. That's how you find it.
Uh-huh.
That's how you find this,
Nothing before.
You don't find it in the Gemara.
Right. No, certainly in the Gemara, right?
Yeah, you don't find that. They started it, and you end up with several different counts. And it peters out at a certain point, that became something, okay, it's done already. Right. Other things, right? So the Ramban takes strong exception to the Rambam in his understanding that it is a mitzvah from the Rabbanon, from the Torah, to listen to the Rabbanon. The Ramban writes that when it says in the Gemara that how do you know to do Mikra Megillah, or how can you say Vitzivanu Hashem commanded us from Lo Sasor? So says the Ramban, Lo Sasor does not mean that you have to listen to the Rabbana. As Dr. Reed said, if that were true, then the Ramban says every Rabbanan would be elevated to the status of D'Oraisa. And then how do we ever have the discrepancy or the dichotomy in the Gemara that, well, D'oraisas, you have to be machmirin, drabbanans, you don't have to be machmirin. Or if you're only chayiv in something midrabbanan, you can't be motzi someone who's chayiv midaraisa. What do you mean? Anybody who's chayiv midrabbanan is also chayiv midaraisa because it says lo sasar. Everything gets bumped up to the status of Torah law. So then, how do you ever have two different levels? Which is
Sveikas,
right?
Sveikas,
right? So he says it's just not possible, or he feels it's not possible to say that Lo Sasor makes every Rabbanon into a D'oraisa. And the Ramban therefore understands that Lo Sasor is actually an Asmachta. And this is going to be the main point of tonight's Asmachta. Okay, what's an Asmachta? That's going to be the main point of tonight's shir, which is going to be to show the different opinions of how to understand what an Asmachta is. So the Ramban says it's only an asmachta. Now, to be somich on something means to lean on something. The word smicha, as in a person gets smicha, means to be leaned upon, because that's the way Smicha was originally done. When Moshe gave it to Yehoshua, he leaned on Yehoshua, giving him Smicha. And that was done for generations until Smicha was, the official Smicha ended, and then from now on it's only done by signing a piece of paper. But that's what Smicha means, to lean on something. And Asmachta means something which is leaned upon. So the Ramban says that when the Torah says Lo Sosur, you shall not turn from what the Torah says, when the Torah says you shall not turn from what the Rabbanim, from what the sages say, right or left, and the Gemara says that's how you know, or that's how you can say Vitzivanu, he commanded us to do Megillah or Purim, or to do Megillah or Chanukah or anything like that. Says the Ramban, that is just an asmachta, as the Gemara itself uses that phrase sometimes.
Asmachta
ba'alma. Asmachta ba'alma. Rabbanan akra. The rabbis leaned it on a pasuk. Now, what does that mean? Really, what official's asking. I mean, what does that mean? What is so good? That's a translation of the word. But what does it mean to lean upon? So here you have different opinions. Let's look first on your second page. It's on the other side of the first page. This is a ritva in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Now, you know the famous saying in the Gemara that on Rosh Hashanah we have in Musaf we have three types of psukim that we say. And we have Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. Right, those are the three parts. So the Gemara says, "Imru lafanai Malchios, say in front of me psukim of Malchios of royalty." Kadesh tamlichuni aleichem, so you'll make me king over you, so Hashem says. Zichronos, say psukim of memory, of good memories of the Jews. Kadesh shetala zichonechem lefanai betova, so that your memory will come up before me for good. Ubameh, and how will it all work? B'shofar, with the shofar. That's shofros. Malchios, zichronos, and shofros. Now the language of the Gemara is, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Imru lefanai Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. Say before me psukim of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. That's the language of the Gemara.
Sounds like the Raisa.
Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God said. It's hard to call that a Darabonis, right? God said. So the question is, where did God say it? So the Ritva, it's on the left-hand column, says, we'll start from 14. Well, it starts, it's actually pretty high, much higher up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines from the top. There's a period, and then it says, V'hadika Amar. V'hadika Amar, that which it says in the Gemara, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Imru lefanai Malchios Zichronos v'Shofros, say before me psukim of Malchios Zichronos and Shofros. Mishum de'avok av the psukim Malchios Zichronos v'Shofros, Einam min ha-Torah. The Ritva says, even though Malchios Zichronos and Shofros are not from the Torah, Elami Drabbanan, they're only rabbinic, Kiddush Parishna, like Arya explained. Mikol Mokom, nevertheless, Mimash Amra Torah Zichron Trua, from the fact that the Torah says about Rosh Hashanah, it says Zichron Trua, should be a remembrance of blowing the shofar. Yesh Lilmod, we can learn from there, Sheroi Lahazkir Psuke Trua Upsuke Zikaron, that it is fitting to mention psukim of shofar and psukim of remembrance. Umalchios, and what about psukim of royalty? Nafkalon, we derive it, Kamosha Darsh Razal, like our sages darshaned, Be Sifra, Mi Pasuk, V'hoyu Lachem L'zikaron Mifnei Elokeichem, you will be remembered in front of your God, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am your God, Shein Tamalom, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, it didn't have to say, I am Hashem your God, Elazeh Bona'av, this is to tell us a general rule, B'chol Malkom Sha'ata Omer Zichronos, that whenever you mention psukim of remembrance, Atasamach Lo Malchios, you also mention royalty, that is, that I am God. And this is where the Rabbanan were samchu, they leaned, they made an asnachta, litkune hani psuki litkiyasa, to establish these psukim of blowing the shofar. Umishum hachik tani Rabbi Akiva, that's what Rabbi Akiva teaches, she'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem said, imu lefane malchino sechonis, etc. Not that Hashem actually said it, but because there is a pasuk that is an asmachta that you can lean upon, he used the phrase Hashem said it. Shekol ma sheyesh lo asmachta min ha-pasuk, anything which has an asmachta from the pasuk, heyer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now listen to this carefully. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed sheroi lasos kein, it's appropriate to do this, elesh lo kavol chova, but Hashem did not establish it as an obligatory thing, just that it's an appropriate thing to do. Umaso lechachamim, Hashem gave it over to the sages, and the sages can decide whether or when it should be done. V'zeh davar baro be'emes, this is clear and it is true. So the Ritva says that an asmachta is a pasuk that is not explicit, it's something that the rabbis showed that what they are making, their decree that they're making, has some sort of a link in the Torah, and it's not that the Hashem said to do it, but Hashem showed in His Torah that it's an appropriate thing to do, and He left it up to the sages to decide when, if, and where to enact it. Now, the lo kedivrei hamafarshim, says the Ritva, I disagree with those who want to say ha'asmachtos, that what is an asmachta shu kederech simin shenasnu chachamim. It's just a simin. It's a mnemonic device. You want to remember, say the Rabban, you want to remember our rule? Asmachta. That's what some opinions want to say. It's not that Hashem was giving a hint in the Torah for the sages to later on come and make a decree.
That's the Rambam.
But and the Torah never was mechan for this. Chas v'sholom, says the Ritva. Yishtakeya hadavar, the thing should be forgotten. V'lo ye'omer, it should never be said. Shezudas minusi, this is heresy, says the Ritva. It's a pretty strong language.
Yes.
Right? It's heresy to say that it's just a mnemonic device that the rabbis made up, and the Torah didn't really mean to tip us off that there's such a thing. So, as you, those who look on the bottom, you see that this opinion is the opinion of the Rambam. The Ritva here is coming to disagree with the Rambam. The Rambam actually writes in the beginning of his introduction to Mishnayos that an asmachta is nothing more than a mnemonic device. That the sages said, well, we're making a new decree. Well, you might have trouble remembering it. So we're going to give you a pasuk in the Torah in which you can hang your hat on it. You can remember what you have to say. But the Torah never meant to imply it. The Torah never suggested it. It is just a mnemonic device. The Ritva says, that is heresy.
It doesn't sound from the Gemara that that's how it's used, though. I'm just thinking like when the Gemara brings it down. Where it uses it as usually as a support, to an opinion, thing, and this opinion has an asmachta. It's kind of like it's like a stronger opinion because there's some reference to it in the Torah. You know, it's not that it's just a reminder, but it lends support more like the Ritva saying. But I'm wondering what the words of the Rambam are. Is that the only way to understand the Rambam?
And the Rambam is pretty. The Rambam is pretty clear in the first verse.
Right, you know what I'm saying? It seems in the sugyas that I've seen it in, it's usually used as it lends more credence to an opinion.
Right. That's the way the Ritva's understanding. But you're right. The language sounds more that way. But the Rambam in the first verse says that he says very clearly that it's just a zecher. It's just a way to remember it. Now, so there's two things I want to tell you based on this. First of all, I want to deal with the language of the Ritva. I mean, he's accusing the Rambam of heresy. And the Rambam has been accused of
that. Well, that's not the first time.
Right. But why would you get him on this? You know, what's the big deal? So, that's one. And two...
Did they not get along?
The mitzvah is much later.
Okay.
It's much later. And two, I want to go through with you what the Maharal writes about asmachta, because it's a little bit more understood. He has a very interesting approach to asmachta, which will help us have a better understanding of it. I once gave a talk many, many years ago. I was doing a seed program in West Hartford, and I gave a talk on the intensity of rabbinic debate. That was the title of the talk. And in that talk, I was addressing the question of why sometimes we find such strong language amongst the various Rishonim against other opinions. I understand you disagree, but why such a strong language? Why such a strong language? Okay, he's wrong, I disagree, but it's heresy.
The Melchemes Hashem,
crazy.
Some of the stuff that he writes when he comes.
Right.
I mean, it's mamas, like.
Yeah, why? Like, why?
You see them beating each other up.
Now, before I tell you this, I do want to tell you that I once heard in Rabbi Wein's history series, I once heard from him a beautiful observation, and that is that of all the Mefarshim, all of the Rishonim, who is the one that is the most popular, the one that everybody, doesn't matter what stripe of Judaism you're from, you're either Litvish or Hasidish or Sardish, everybody. What then?
Everyone holds it.
Everybody has to hold. Everybody does. What then?
Rambam.
No, it's not true, because the Rambam had controversy. Who's the one you never find any
controversy?
The
Rishon?
Rashi. Rashi never, everybody deals with Rashi. Rashi is the, he's the...
No, but he's still, that doesn't mean people don't disagree with him.
No, but that's true, people disagree with him, but nobody has controversy. Nobody says that Rashi
was just out of
Rashi, everybody uses Rashi. Rashi in Chumash, Rashi in the Gemara. Rashi is your companion in learning, always, always. Not necessarily in Halacha, I agree with you. But in saying learning, Rashi's it.
Okay.
Rabbi Wein observed that you never find a harsh word in Rashi. Even when he disagrees with another opinion, he says, lo nira li, doesn't appear to me. Or he'll say, harisho nira ikar. The first approach seems to me to be the main approach. Rashi writes beautifully. Rashi, he writes softly. You never find a harsh word in Rashi. So even though I'm about to tell you a pshat in the intensity of debate of why they would use such strong language, but the one who didn't is the one who history has proven...
He's above the fray.
Right. And this is proven that when you don't use strong language, you end up with longevity. I mean, that's the one who wins. Okay, but anyway, still, why would they use such strong language? So, let's think about what we just read. Okay, let's think it very clearly. The Rambam holds that asmachta is just an amanat kavas. Okay. The Ritva says, no. The asmachta means that the Torah embedded within itself a stamp of approval about certain types of behaviors or enactments or decrees, whatever it is, that are not obligatory, but the sages can come along later and decide that they want to enact it, and the Torah is like kind of giving their stamp of approval, Hashem's giving his stamp of approval to it. So, the when it comes to the mitzvah of lo sasur, don't turn away from the Rabbanan say. So, the Rambam writes that lo sasur is a mitzvah that you must listen to the rabbis. It's a mitzvah. Every time that you do what the rabbis say to do, you're listening to the Torah as well. The Torah says don't turn away from what they say. Anytime a person, God forbid, rebels against what the sages say. So a person eats chicken with cheese. So if a person does that, so according to the Rambam, he is transgressing a mitzvah in the Torah. Because the Torah says, don't go against what the Rabban say. The Rambam says, it's not so. There's no mitzvah in the Torah to listen to the Rabban. So when the Torah says, lo sasur, and the Gemara says, that's how you know you have to listen to the Rabban. What does the Gemara really mean? It's just an asmachta. It's just not smachta. Now let's think this through. If the Ritva agrees to the Ramban, that Lo Sasur is nothing more than an asmachta. Let's postulate that. That the Ritva would hold that that lo sasur is only an asmachta. If he then would hold like the Rambam, then an asmachta is nothing more than a mnemonic device, then according to the Ritva, there is no indication anywhere that we should listen to the Rambam. If the Ritva agrees to the Ramban that an asmachta is just a mnemonic device, it's made up by the sages, they found a way to remind us about their decree. And if he would hold that, like the Rambam, I just said that, he only grounded this, and he would hold like the Ramban, what did I just say before? Let me start over again, I'm sorry, I got the names wrong. If he would hold like the Rambam, then an asmachta is just a mnemonic device. That's all it is. And he would hold like the Ramban that when the Gemara says the way you know to listen to the sages is lo sasur, but lo sasur is just an asmachta, then if you put those two opinions together, that yields that, right? Because who told you to listen to the Rabbanon? The Rabbanon. They made it up. The Rabbanon said, we want you to listen to us, but you know what? We're afraid you might forget about it. So here's a pasuk in the Torah that we'll give you as a mnemonic device to remember to listen to us. One second. Rabbis, who said I'm supposed to listen to you? Oh, we said you're supposed to listen to us. I don't feel like it. There would be, if you combine those two opinions, the opinion of the Rambam that Asmachta has no divine source. It's just something made up. And that lo sasur is just an asmachta, you combine those two things, you end up with, there's no source to listen to the Rabban. It's possible, that's why the Ritva says, that the opinion that asmachta is just a mnemonic device is minus, is heresy. Because if the Ritva holds, like the Ramban, that asmachta, that lo sasur is only an asmachta, he necessarily has to say that an asmachta is more than just a mnemonic device. Because if it's less than that, if it's just a mnemonic device, then how do you know you're supposed to listen to the Rabbanan? But the Rambam, lishitaso, according to his own opinion, that he holds that lo sasur is not just an asmachta, lo sasur is a mitzvah in the Torah to listen to the Rabbanan. So just because he says that asmachta is just a mnemonic device, he doesn't have this problem. He doesn't yield that you can't don't have to listen to the Rabbanan, because he holds lo sasur is not an asmachta. He holds lo sasur is a mitzvah in the Torah to listen to the Rabbanan. So when the Ritva says that the Rambam, that the Ram's opinion is heresy, what he means is based on his paradigm, that opinion becomes heresy. But in the Rambam's paradigm, it's not. I mean, put this on the board, you can see it. We can illustrate it. If we say, let's do it this way. Let's do Lo Sasur. Let's do it this way. Let's do Lo Sasur. Lo Sasur. So, you have two opinions of Lo Sasur. Either it is a Torah law, or it's an asmachta. Those are your two opinions, right? This is Rambam. This is Rambam. And this is Ramban. Okay? Then, within the opinion of asmachta, there's two opinions.
This is where I get a little confused.
Okay, well, watch. There's two opinions here. Asmachta is divine, or asmachta is, we'll call it, correct, rabbinic. Or what do we call it? You want to call it just a...
Reminder.
It's a rabbinic reminder.
Now, who holds what? The Ritva holds that it's divine. And the Rambam holds it's a rabbinic reminder. Now, let's look very carefully at this. If you say that Lo Sasor, which is the source to listen to the Rabbanon, is a Torah law, fine. If you say it's an Asmachta, that the way you know to listen to the Rabbanon, Lo Sasor, is an Asmachta, then which of these two must you hold? If you say Asmachta is only a rabbinic reminder, and Lo Sasor is only an Asmachta, then there's no source to listen to the Rabbanon. It yields zero. If you say Lo Sasor, which is listen to
the Rabbanon. No, there does not go back to a Duraisa.
Right, you never listen.
There's no Duraisa Makor.
Sages. If you say that listening to the sages is an Asmachta, and an Asmachta is just a rabbinic reminder, so who said you should listen to the sages?
The rabbinic reminder said you should listen to the sages.
So
in a circle.
Right, it's a circle. You got nothing out of it. So if you're going to say that Lo Sasor is only an Asmachta, you're going to have to say it's divine. So the Rambam who says that it's only a rabbinic reminder, he doesn't have this problem because he doesn't say it's an Asmachta. He says it's a Torah law. So it's okay for him to say that Asmachta is just a rabbinic reminder. But those who say that Asmachta, that Lo Sasor is an Asmachta, are going to have to say something more than rabbinic reminder. They have to say divine, something divine about it. So the Ritva, who says divine, he says this opinion is heresy. Why is it heresy? So I'm suggesting it could be because if you agree to the Ramban, the Lo Sasor is only an Asmachta, in that paradigm, it is heresy to say that Asmachta is just a rabbinic reminder. Because you just went in a circle. So the Ritva says it's heresy to say this. You've got to say that it's divine. But the Rambam who's being attacked doesn't have that problem. Because he disagrees with the whole premise. He says that Lo Sasor is actually from the Torah. But you see why the Ritva would use such a strong statement. Because from where he's coming from, it is heresy. It doesn't fit. You can't combine this opinion with this opinion.
Do we find this sort of language in the Ritva often? Is it usually so
clear? I can't say yes or no because I don't know. I haven't learned the Ritva as a study to say one way or another. You have to learn a lot of one thing. You know, in Rashi, it's easier because we see a lot of it. But it's hard to say that. I can't say for sure. Anyway, so this was the this is what the shir I gave in West Hartford then to show why the language we use. And very often, we're only seeing a very small part of the argument. So when we're looking at it, and one of the Rishonim uses this really harsh language, you don't know what you're talking about. Who taught you how to learn? That kind of thing, right? So we say to ourselves, we scratch our head like, what warranted that kind of response? But we're not seeing the big picture. We're not seeing how this opinion or this disagreement affects this one, which affects this one, and there's a domino effect, which could result in some terrible heresy or some other type of terrible conclusion. We're only seeing the thing right in front of us with our limited knowledge. So frequently, that will justify the strong language. As I said, even so, Rashi doesn't use the language like that, but that would justify that kind of language if you find it. This could be an example for that. So, what time is it?
2 minutes.
Okay, so we don't really have time for the Maharal, but if you want to, if you have a chance, the Maharal goes through to show what does it mean that Asmachta is divine. How does that work? I mean, what, Hashem like embedded things? Is it? So he goes through three examples to show how the Rabbanan were able to take out of how the Torah expresses itself that a certain thing is important. I'll tell you one example. We don't have to read it inside. I'll give you one example. We know that there's a rabbinic decree to wash your hands before bread. I'm probably going to speak about the halachos of those Adayim this coming Shabbos. They're actually rather complicated. Yeah, that's the source of it,
yeah.
Right? To wash your hands. It's rather complicated, and a lot of it people don't really understand what they're doing, and if you don't use a lot of water, you can end up really messing things up. So I'm probably going to speak about it this Shabbos. But at any rate, they decreed
the hands need to be washed before eating bread. Now, in the Torah... Yeah, that's Drabbanan. Now, in the Torah, you find no such thing. In the Torah, either you, your whole body, is Tamei, or you, your whole body, is Tahar. You never find your hands are Tamei or your hands are Tahar. No such thing in the Torah. However, the Torah does differentiate between Beis Hastarim and not Beis Hastarim. Beis Hastarim means those parts of the body that are inside the body, that are hidden away. There will be orifices of the body. Inside the orifices of the body, there's no Tumah. So that if something Tameh touches the inside of one of the orifices of the body, a person does not become Tameh. It has to touch the outside of the body in order for a person to become Tameh.
Maybe like the heart or the lungs? Or
no, even one of the, let's say inside the ear or inside the nose or something like that. Or for a woman being involved in marital relations. It does not, anything inside the body does not make a person tummy. It has to be outside the body to make a person tummy. That the Torah does differentiate. The way the Torah differentiates this is by saying, V'yadav lo shataf b'mayim. He didn't yet put his hands in water. He's tummy, and he didn't put his hands in water. Now the Gemara understands, it doesn't mean his hands. If a person's tummy, he's got to put his whole body in the water. But the Gemara shows from there, the reason why the Torah used the word hands is to show us that only the outside of the body is what becomes Tameh, not inside the body. That's why the Torah used the word hands. So says the Maral, but the Chazal looked at that pasuk and they said, well, if the Torah had to pick the outside of the body, why did it say hands? Why didn't it say face? Why didn't it say nose? Why didn't it say ear? Why didn't it say foot? Those are all outside of the body. Why did it pick hands? So the Rabbanan said, because the Torah is trying to show us that of all the parts of the body, the parts that are closest to becoming Tameh are the hands. So even though in Torah law you never find a differentiation between the hands and the rest of the body in practical halacha, either the whole body is Tar or the whole body is Tameh, you never find any kind of differentiation. Nevertheless, the Torah is still telling us, by inference, that the hands have some sort of a closer relationship to becoming Tameh than other parts of the body. Therefore, when they made a decree about Tumah and Tahara, they segregated the hands. They said, the hands have a special Tumah. All rabbinic. But they derived the concept from the Torah. That's how the Maral explains an asmachta, and he uses this in two other examples to show how it works. So if you want to see the Maral, you're able to take this. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.